We give them Bibles and we show them how to read the Bibles, and we spend quite a bit of time on the Bible, and they get a lot of comfort. A lot of them come back the second or the third day. They stayed up all night reading their Bible.
Prisoners discover that they are loved, most importantly, loved by God. A layperson who ministers in prisons will tell us how lives are changed and transformed as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Grace and Gladness and Whitney Doe, a challenging interview with a prison ministry, and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Let's begin our music with a lovely song, Bring Back the Springtime. I'll pick up my trombone and sing and play it for you.
When in the spring the flowers are blooming bright and fair, after the gray of winter's cold, once again the lark begins its tuning back in the meadows of my home. Lord, to my heart bring back the springtime. Take away the cold and dark of sin. Come and fill me now, sweet Holy Spirit. May I warm and tender be again. Take away the cold and dark of sin. Come and fill me now, sweet Holy Spirit. May I warm and tender be again. May I warm and tender be again.
Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled Our Father. It is written by G. Allen Penton of Georgia. G. Allen writes, God can use our troubles to change our hearts. The scripture reference is Hebrews 12, verse 6. The Lord disciplines those whom he loves. He came to the door and introduced himself, asking to speak to my parents and me. I knew who he was. I was in trouble. Father, I'm in serious trouble, I announced, trembling. Do you want to hear it from me or from someone else? Father looked at me. From you, he sighed. I told him what I'd done. Then we walked in the living room together to face the consequences. Because of the kind of father he was, I knew I could go to him when I was in trouble. and I knew that he would walk with me through the trouble. My father was not there to make sure punishment was rendered. The punishment I deserved was not always given, but I was disciplined to improve my behavior and my attitudes. God is like that loving father. God does not stand with a whip to make sure we pay for our sins, but disciplines us. And God walks with us through the discipline, supporting us and helping us to learn from our troubles so that our hearts are changed. May we pray. God can use our troubles to change our hearts.
And now it's Share Your Faith time.
I'm happy to welcome back to Methodist Hour John Bowling, a layperson from Minnesota, a Lutheran, who has found Christ. He was in his 40s when he found the Lord. And last week he was telling us about an exciting ministry, a prison ministry in which he's involved. Tell us again the name of that ministry and what it means.
I'm glad to be back. REC, Residents Encounter Christ.
Residents Encounter Christ, and the residents are the prisoners.
That's correct, yeah.
Yes. So you go into prisons. Now, what kind of prisons? State prisons?
State prisons, federal prisons, and also locally we go into county jails.
Yes.
So we deal with sheriffs and we deal with wardens and all the different guards.
Now you say we. You're all lay persons, men and women, young people?
We have some spiritual guidance from chaplains. They could be Catholic priests, Protestant ministers, or
yes,
Jewish rabbis.
Yes.
So we do, it's very ecumenical. Uh-huh. We do have professional spiritual directors.
Yes.
Ordained people.
Mm-hmm.
But the core of the group is lay people. And it's just, I think, really important. These prisoners realize the lay people are there. We're not getting compensated, you know, on earth at any
rate.
You're
not professional.
No, it really makes a difference to these people. No, we're taking vacation time or time away from our family.
Yes.
Some from our parents, some are,
yes,
have to be 21.
We have some
to
young
do this.
People.
Yeah,
yes.
They have to be 21. And it's really effective when lay people are involved and they see us and the fellowship that we have and the respect and camaraderie.
Yes.
It's very powerful.
Now, last week you told us you begin, it's 3 days, you begin, first day you die. The second day, you rise.
You're right on.
And the third day, you go.
That's it.
All right. Now, tell us what happens in each of those days.
Okay. On the first day, which is die day, we get with the prisoners and we break the ice, so to speak, and try to, you know, let them know who we are and find out a little bit about them. We're not interested in their story, why they got there. We're interested in today and beyond and in our walk with Jesus. And
well, John, what's their attitude toward you? Is there some suspicion on their part?
Oh my, yes. They're very cold at first. Won't look at you, won't touch at you or anything. But
yes,
but we work with them from 7 in the morning till 9 at night.
Yes.
I don't know if we're wearing them down or whatever, but I know it's Jesus doing it. But they die to their sin and they're new people, most of them. And they go on different time schedules. There's no time. Some people do, some don't.
Yes.
But by the beginning of Rise Day, they're hugging you and participating and singing beautiful
songs. Well, I'll tell
songs.
You what's happened to them. They've discovered love.
They have.
God's love.
Amen.
Through you folks.
That's right. And we give testimonies and, you know, we let them know that we're not perfect. We fall short.
Yes.
And we let them know all of it. And we're at different levels of our walk with Jesus. Everyone in our group,
yes,
everyone in their group.
But
it doesn't matter.
But you offer them Christ.
Amen. That's right.
And you tell them he is the answer to your need.
That's correct.
And he is.
And we give them Bibles and we show them how to read the Bibles. And we spend quite a bit of time on the Bible. And they get a lot of comfort. A lot of them come back the second or the third day. They stayed up all night reading their Bible.
Wow.
They get gung-ho for Jesus.
Something something remarkable is happening to those prisoners.
And they're telling their friends. In this one prison we go to, happens to be in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's just across the border from Minnesota.
Yes.
So we go there. 300 Christians out of a population of 850 prisoners.
Wow.
Praise God.
Isn't that marvelous? Well, this is John Bowling that I'm talking with, and John is a layperson, but he's involved in a life-changing ministry. And that's what Christianity is all about. That's what Jesus is all about.
That's right.
Jesus came to this world to change the human race. And he does it by changing human hearts and attitude and spirit.
Yes,
and
sir.
He sets us free from self-centeredness and fills us with His Spirit into a state of God-centeredness. And that's a transforming, life-transforming experience, isn't it, John?
Certainly has been in my life, and I've seen it in others. So, yes. I certainly agree.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we want to say to our listeners, if you're not involved in a witness ministry for Christ and you are a Christian, then find a way to share Christ, because you are called, every Christian, you're called to be a witness for Jesus. And our guest today, John Bowling, is a witness. John, I didn't say at the beginning, we're recording this in the Pacific Ocean.
Yes, we are.
We're on the Mazdam, the Holland America ship, and we're about to go through the Panama Canal.
But Jesus is with us.
And Jesus is with us. And I've met this wonderful Lutheran layman on this ship. And John Bowling, we thank you so much for sharing your witness with us and the story of your ministry. You're excited about Jesus, aren't you?
I'm excited. And I just wish Jesus and God's peace to all the listeners and yourself as well.
Thank you, John Bowling. And when those prisoners get out of those prisons, they're going to be different people, aren't they?
We see them on the outside now once in a while. Yes,
and
they're
Jesus,
changed.
Jesus changes lives, transforms. Well, God bless you. I've been talking with John Bowling. Thank you, John. God bless.
Thank you.
Leanne Williamson, Grace and Gladness, United Methodist Evangelist, sings Jesus' good news, Shouts of Joy. Today's message is entitled, Listening to Your Heart. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Whit. The gospel lesson is John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Well, Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything about me. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Amen. Well, the tires on my old green Chevrolet seemed to mush their way through the thick, powdery dust on the surface of Bethel Road. That was the road to our church, Parsonage. Laura, our oldest daughter, who was 5 then, was telling me about a series of events that occurred that day. My mind had drifted in and out of her conversation, and finally she moved over to my side of the seat, and she put her little hands on my cheeks and turned my head toward her face, and she said, "Daddy, you're not listening to me." Well, friend, she caught me cold. I was listening, but I wasn't listening. Later, when I had a chance to think through what had taken place, I realized that it was very important to her that I listened and responded to what she was saying. You know, I think there are times for all of us when our listeners just don't seem to realize how important what we're saying to them really is. Sometimes a nod or a shrug of the shoulders just only adds to our feelings of not being heard. Most of us learn early how to screen out a lot of the conversation and sounds. In fact, if we did not do that, we would be bombarded with so much noise that our minds really couldn't stand it. Now this lesson, this scripture lesson, is a picture of a very intense and a very compassionate scene in which Jesus is trying to tell his disciple Peter that he's going to trust the church to grow because of him, because of Peter. Peter was stunned. Remember now, they had been eating breakfast together on the beach. Jesus had prepared it. Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times, was not in his presence after the resurrection. Now, I can hardly imagine the emotions that were stirring among those disciples. In my mind, I can see Jesus walking over to Peter, the big fisherman. See, Peter was a lot bigger than Jesus. Jesus reached up and put his arm around Peter, and he looked him right into his sun-worn face, and then squarely into those dark brown Jewish eyes. And then, with a voice tender with concern and a hope for a positive answer, Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" Friends, I think instantly the crowing of that rooster screamed in Peter's ears. But quietly Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I do." His low answer sounded almost like a question. You know I do. "Feed my sheep," Jesus said the second time. And this time Peter's answer was stronger. And finally, the third time, Jesus asked the big fisherman, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter's answer was strong and clear. It was as though the third time was the final cleansing. And now the sound of the rooster crowing was being muted by the deep knowing that Jesus really wanted him to hear what he was saying. "Feed my sheep." And Peter, I'm trusting you now to do it. In the mystery of this occasion, Peter was transformed. Now imagine how he started. Peter had a few handmade fish hooks, some frayed rope, a net that needed repair, part ownership in a wooden boat, and a friend named Jesus who loved him beyond his understanding. Do you remember that on the day of Pentecost, it was this same fisherman who stood before the whole world and with the courage and conviction of the strongest man you can imagine, one that forever changed the course of human history? Peter heard Jesus with his heart, you see. He had opened his life and his mind and his attitude. Judy and I have a friend named Jim. Long ago, we worked together. You know, when others had gone home from the office at night, his lights were still on. Many weeks he worked long hours each day and 7 days a week with no time off. Some of us said to him, "Jim, you know you ought to slow down," but he just worked harder. I asked him to do many things for me and he never refused or complained. We were all so busy and I guess we didn't notice. We never really heard Jim's cry for help. It wasn't, in fact, until we found a trail of suicidal clues that made us really listen with our hearts. Jim just disappeared one afternoon. It wasn't until late at night that we knew something was very wrong. We searched and we prayed for 3 days, and it was very close, maybe as close as a few minutes before he was preparing to take his own life. Dozens of phone calls, an emergency plane trip, and a, and a very sensitive police officer saved his life. We stood together and asked ourselves, why didn't we hear his cries? Maybe we have learned to screen out too many things. Maybe we would do well to stand alongside of Christ once more and let him look into the eyes of our hearts and would ask us, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Well, Jim is back to work in a different city. His work is not the same, and I know the hurt is still there, but he is managing it. He told me it was a quieter place and a slower pace. You know, when I think of his loneliness in the midst of so many people, it is so painful to me. I pray that his life can be reclaimed, and out of that destruction he will grow strong in knowing that the one who loves him, the one who loves him, Jesus, as his own child, is there. And I learned a great lesson from Jim, a lesson that I struggle with nearly every day. It's a lesson about listening to others and listening with my heart to God. There's a great move in the church today to grow and to win others to Christ, and that's a tremendous, tremendous thing. There is a call across the world for evangelism, and I'm so glad of that. But I tell you the truth, I tell you the truth, there needs to be within us, within each of us, a call to not only to proclaim, but a call, maybe even a call, a scream to listen. My friend Dr. Joe Harding said to me several years ago, he said, John, and of course Joe knows as much about church growth as anybody I know. He said, John, the single most important thing that a pastor in a church can do is to listen to what his congregation or her congregation is saying. Joe said, John, they know where the pain is. Our little congregation is growing and bursting at the seams. But in the midst of all that, there is a greater sound. There's the cry of a man with prostate cancer, where the cancer has invaded his bones and there is no hope for his life. There's the cry of a mother who wants to be united with her children, and a couple whose broken marriage has left children so afraid to trust. Well, you know how it is where you live. There's so many people around us that need to be listened to. You know, I've asked myself, what would happen if a local church, if my church, would send its members walking through a community to interview people they meet on the street and just listen to their hearts? Don't sell anything, just listen. I wonder what that would be like if I did that in my own family. My family's busy. Every family I know seems to be on a treadmill, on a race. But what a great thing to remember Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feeding our sheep can mean listening, feeding them with compassion and care and listening and understanding. What a great challenge to us. Amen.
Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer?
John, remember the Old Testament hero Samuel, who said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. John, we Christians need to cultivate the practice of listening for God's voice, speaking out of his word, the Bible, and through the Holy Spirit. In prayer, we spend so much time asking for blessings, but not being still and listening. E. Stanley Jones used to go to his listening post every day, asking, Lord, what have you to say to me? And then, John, you've made a tremendous point in today's message. We need to be listening to the hurting people around us. We cannot win them or help them if we do not listen to them. God listens, so must we. May we hear the cry of the lonely and the suffering. Like Jesus, we must listen, then respond. A deaf church is a barren church. John, I know you've got another word. Share it now.
Thank you very much. You know, Easter cannot be contained. There's really no words to fully describe it.
gorgeous colors, powerful music. The earth seems to just shout hallelujah with springtime beauty. But as people of faith, we know that there is a cost. The cost of it is way beyond our understanding. Why would anyone want to redeem us out of love when you consider how we've treated each other throughout history and even today? One human way is to live with guilt and shame. Now, I'm pretty sure that most everyone could claim a feeling like that. Of course, each of us does have some broken places in our lives. We cannot rewrite our histories, but we can effectively influence our futures. And I can tell you that brokenness has no favorites. But it is because of Easter that we can live into our futures with hope. Hope heals our wounded souls. Now, I don't mean you just wake up one day and have hope, although I suppose that's possible. But encouraging hope most often comes through fellowship and connection with the body of Christ. Other folks who are like you, who are on the journey. You see, when we share our stories with each other, we discover that God was with us, but we didn't even know it. Because, you see, we were not expecting him to be there. And hope teaches us that we have so much to contribute to life, even in our own brokenness. You see, your story is part of God's story because you're one of his kids. Please spend some time thinking about that. Your story is part of God's story. Help us with here at Methodist Hour, if you would, to help us to continue to tell his story. So many persons live in the grayness of brokenness and have no idea how to find hope. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com, or you can go to Facebook, Methodist Hour International, that's it, or call me direct, 678-488-2162, 678-488-2162, or you can just text me. And I pray that God's grace, the grace of Easter, just surrounds your life. Amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. Get to know your nearby Christian clergyman. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.